Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is the Writer's Lounge, show number 80. This is March 23rd, 2015. I am your host for this show, which is the show where we showcase new authors. And today's brief intro to today's show, we will be talking to, shortly, we will be talking to Dee Dee M. Scott, and she wrote Sent from Heaven, and Dee Dee will be on at about quarter after the hour, wherever you may be. So, stay tuned for that. The Writer's Lounge blog can be found over at tomridell.com/blog. And over there, you can read all the reviews of the books that I've reviewed over the last several years. And the Blog Talk Radio player is in the upper left-hand corner of the page. Go to that area. You can click on the author name and listen to the interview here on the Writer's Lounge. Also, of course, we are on Facebook. Go over to the Blog Talk Radio site. Click on the Facebook link. It'll take you to Facebook, and there you can like us. And over at Twitter, you can follow us. And if you'd like to do it the old-fashioned way and you'd prefer writing an email, you can do that also at twl11@yahoo.com. Upcoming guest authors, next time up on April 13th, we'll be talking once again to Dawn Whidden, who has written a fantastic book, a very good read, and the name of the book is Stolen. So Dawn will be back with us again on the Writer's Lounge. That's April 13th, and we're really looking forward to that. Sponsoring today's show, as always, Magic Pen Web Design offers its clients a simple, effective, and affordable approach to website design development. Go on over there to Magic Pen Web Design, fill out the free estimate form, and let Magic Pen help you to sell that next book with a website design that works its magic for you. And if you'd like to give us a call and talk to me and Dee Dee, you can do that at toll-free 877-878-1436 and 626-213-5613. So what are we going to do here on the show before we talk to Dee Dee? Well, I have an author here that I was researching in regards to writing romance novels, and for that matter, writing any novel and submitting it to an editor. Okay, well, we're living in a time now where a lot of self-publishing is being done, so that step has been bypassed by many, but submitting manuscripts to major publishing houses are still going on. So, and of course, you want to make your biggest impact on readers, and yes, book reviewers such as myself, by making sure that your writing is adequate. And I mean by that is for not just you and what you feel a story should be, but also for the people who will be editing your work or reviewing your work. And I have a very good clip here, and it runs about, let's see here, it looks like around 6 minutes or somewhere around there. And we were playing that clip. And then when we get back, we will be talking to Dee Dee. So let's go to, once again, her name is Lee Barber, and she talks about editing a book or a romance novel or whatever you want to write. And let's listen to what she has to say, and then we'll be back.
It seems like we've worked on a lot of theories of writing. But let's get down to the nitty-gritty. And that also means taking into consideration what an editor might think. And when you're talking about editors, the most important thing to remember is the hook. I can't stress this enough. Editors and publishers, no matter who they are, want to find a reason to reject your work. They're busy. More manuscripts come in than they can review, so they want to get past yours and go on to the others. This means you have to nab them on the first page. No matter how well you write, if you don't hook them in right away, no one will ever read your book. Sorry. This means you need to approach writing your book in a different way. It's doable. I hope all of you read The Lovely Bones. If you haven't, pick it up. You'll see what I mean by simply reading the first 5 pages. If the author had chosen to put the rape scene in its chronological place, the book may never have been published, but anybody reading the first few pages has to buy that book. People don't invest their time in anything they don't deem to have value. They make this decision within the first few minutes. I'm a website designer, and it's the same thing. If you don't convince them the website is worthwhile in the first few seconds, they're gone. They've clicked a link, and they're off. Readers are the same. They read the first few lines, and from that, they determine whether they want to read more. I know that's not fair, but that's the art in writing a novel. Your hook is your lasso. Rope them in. So, how soon do you actually need to get their attention? The first 3 chapters is what every editor will automatically ask you for. That should tell you something. You've got to convince an editor within the first 3 chapters. But I can tell you that when I first got published, I believe they decided they wanted my book a lot sooner than that. Probably in the first 3 pages, at least. But let's remember how editors really are. They're busy. They've got a queue full of manuscripts. My guess is that by the 2nd paragraph, they've seen how you write, and if they're not impressed yet, I doubt they'll read the 3rd paragraph. You've figured it out. You've got to give somebody reason to read past the first 3 lines. The end of the first 3 chapters is where you must have all of your major characters introduced and all of the major plot lines established. In other words, it must be somewhat obvious where the story will head and who will be involved. Why? It's just an industry standard. Remember I mentioned that editors typically want the first 3 chapters? Major characters are those who will affect the outcome of the plot. You can have lots of characters, but they are only major if their actions change the direction of the storyline. When you're talking about romances, the hero and the heroine are normally the only major characters. In a romance, they are the only ones who can make the happy ending. Minor characters can be very important to your writing. Quite often, they are the mechanism you use to get the major characters to reveal things about their innate characters. Remember in Pretty Woman how the concierge in the hotel brought out so much of Julia Roberts' character? And do you remember Richard Gere's lawyer friend making a pass at Julia Roberts? The author used the concierge and the lawyer to reveal certain facets of the major character's personality. In other words, they were pawns. Let's go back to the first 3 chapters of your novel. We said that all major characters and plot lines had to be introduced, so that means a lot has to happen in these first few chapters. And, most of all, you need to leave the reader with wanting to know more. How do you get their attention? Leave some doubt. Leave something for them to wonder about. Spark their curiosity. Allude to something the reader doesn't know about. Now, this is tricky, because at the same time you're trying to get them curious, you also have the responsibility of setting up the story. You have to give the reader basic information about the hero or heroine's life. You have to let the reader know enough about the characters' lives to imagine what these characters are like. Now, I'd like you to read the first page of Zebulon, the first novel I published.
Okay, there's Lee Barber, and I hope you listen to that, and we'll see if maybe Dee Dee has some comments in regards to that clip that I just played on, once again, editing and your first three chapters and what's included in those first three chapters. So on with today's special event, once again, Sent from Heaven was written by Dee Dee Scott and published by Ashayad Publication in 2014. You may purchase it at Amazon.com/Kindle and visit the author on Facebook. And this is what Amazon had to say about Sent from Heaven. Best-selling romance author Maya Smith's life is far different from the character she creates in her novels. Left to raise a baby without the assistance of the married father, she has given up on finding a prince on a white horse to rescue her. Enter cardiologist and single father Ford Tucker. Dr. Tucker is all work and no play. He has dedicated his life to work and raising his daughter. When Ford becomes Maya's cardiologist, he is instantly smitten with her. Sparks fly and the passion's hot as ever between the two. But just when Ford thinks he has finally found Miss Wright and Maya thinks she's found her prince, a devastating secret is revealed that will rock the core of their relationship. Will their bond survive the terrible secret, or will Ford end up alone and Maya princeless? That's what Amazon had to say, and here's my review of her book. When Maya meets her cardiologist, her heart beats like never before. The same is true for Dr. Tucker. Despite other obligations, both Maya and Ford find that their paths keep on crossing, and a passion begins to burn. Soon they are deep in a very loving relationship and thinking about building a life together. But then something is revealed that is so troubling that it threatens to rip their relationship completely apart. Can they hold on? While reading this love story, I kept thinking there's really nothing that stands out from this one and all the other romance novels that are out there. Then out jumps a few quick, interesting plot twists that absorbed me into this story, and I found myself reading the whole book in just two settings. Dee Dee Scott is an author of many books to her credit. I look forward to reading more of her work. And with that, I'd like to bring Dee Dee on here and going to press the magic button, and hopefully this is her. Dee Dee, is this you?
Yes, how are you?
How you doing, Dee Dee?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing really well. What's where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Columbia, South Carolina.
Oh, so you must be down in nicer weather than what we have up here in the north in Minnesota, huh?
Yes, we're having good weather in South Carolina.
Oh, that's nice. Wish I was down there now, but I guess we're going to have to wait up here for a little bit anyway for the nicer weather to come through. I really liked your book, and I liked what I read, and I liked the reviews that I've also read online. Would you mind reading an excerpt from your book?
Sure, I'll read one. The excerpt I'm going to read, it comes from Chapter 8 of Sent from Heaven, the first book, and it's when Maya is at Ford's office, and it's the day after he kissed her and how she's feeling. The next day, Maya waited impatiently inside Ford's office for the results of her MRI. She prayed it would be good. She certainly felt that way. Her entire body was still scorching from the kiss he'd given her last night. Maya took a deep breath and clasped her sweaty hands together on her lap to still them. There was a light tap on the door. Now was the deal breaker. Maybe last night had just been a heat-of-the-moment thing. Maybe to Ford, the kiss had meant nothing. Ford walked behind the desk and sat in his office chair. His eyes were glued to the file in his hand. "Your MRI looks good," he said, placing the folder aside. He locked his eyes on Maya. "In the meantime, you should continue taking your medicine and keep your yearly checkup." Happy with her test results, Maya breathed a sigh of relief. "Is there anything else I need to do?" she asked. "Yes," Ford answered, braiding his hands together on the desk. "Have dinner with me." "Dinner?" she asked, completely surprised. "Yes, let me take you out." Ford stood from his chair. He moved to her and helped her from the seat. So, what do you say? Maya strapped on her purse. Why do you want to take me out? Ford gently took her hand. You gave me your word yesterday that you would let me, remember? I do, but we also agreed that it wouldn't be a date. It's not. I just want to know more about you. Again, Maya looked surprised. Why? Ford inched in closer. My little girl has taken a liking to you. Maya smiled playfully and her seductive brown eyes twinkled. I've taken a liking to Claire, too. What about me? You're interesting, I guess, Maya said coyly. Looking disappointed, Ford stepped in even closer. Just interesting? Okay, so far you seem like a wonderful man, Maya admitted while fondling his stylish tie. Is that what you want me to say? Not if you don't mean it. Maya tilted her head forward, causing her red curls to cover her eyes. Well, I do. Ford lifted her face to his. I think you're wonderful, too, he said, smiling. Maya felt a hot shiver threatening to convulse her, but she regained control. So, can I take you out? Ford asked again, flashing his Colgate smile. Maya blushed. I'd like that. Ford planted a lingering kiss to her lips. He winked at her before grabbing his file from the desk. Sit tight, pretty lady. Maya's entire body burned as she watched him exit the office. When the door closed, her weak glaze collapsed. She slid into the chair, taking in several deep, hot breaths. She tried to play it cool, but she could feel her entire body trembling. She ran a hand through her hair. Things were moving pretty fast. She had no idea how to stop it, neither did she want to. She smiled, touching her lips. The blood heated beneath her skin. She loved the way Ford made her feel and the way he touched her. She enjoyed the excitement and the rush she felt when he was around. She closed her eyes and shook her head. After the breakup with her ex, Big D, she felt dead. Now the dormant individual that had been living inside of her had packed up and moved out. She was back to her old, happy self again. It felt good living.
Very good. Dee Dee, did you get a chance? Did you listen to our opening segment with Lee Barber? And I was wondering what you thought of what she had to say.
I agree with almost everything she said. You know, when I was first studying on actually writing a book and putting a manuscript together, these are some of the things that I actually studied when I would go to the library, or some of the things that I studied online. And the things that she was saying about the hook and grabbing the attention within the first three chapters, these are things that I studied on. So I know that they're on point, and I agree totally with it.
Yeah. And talking about writing, obviously you've written, several books here. What or who inspired you to become a writer, and did it turn out the way that you thought it would?
Who inspired me to become a writer? I would have to say it was my teachers, two in particular, both language arts teachers. One was named Miss Usher when I attended elementary school, and she just made writing fun. She would give us writing prompts once a week, and that was the highlight of the week for me. And writing those prompts taught me at an early age about sticking to the main ideal and brainstorming a topic, as well as with my eighth grade teacher, Ms. Blackburn, when I was in middle school, we had the accelerated reading program, and basically you read a book and then a test and earned points for reading that book. Well, Ms. Blackburn, she was very innovative, and every point that I earned or any of her students earned, she would add bees to these strings and hang them from the ceiling. So, of course, I had all these bees on a hanger with my name on it, and at the end of the semester, there was a store set up, and we used those points as money to buy a lot of cool things. So not only did that make me want to read more so that I could earn more beads and buy more things, but I fell in love with reading early, and I learned a lot about telling a story and pacing, and I used that later when I began to write my own books.
Yeah, give us an example of a reading prompt that you would have gotten back in those classes.
One in particular, I remember she said it was anything from like tell about a time of your favorite vacation, or tell about a time when you were very afraid, or tell about a time when you were surprised. Or she would just give us all different types of things to write about. And all of them were interesting, and I just had fun with it.
Right, right. The best part of writing, I think, is creative writing. Anybody can write, but to actually get into a story and be creative is important and I think a lot of fun. I think a lot of people don't understand the difference between just writing and creative writing. It's so much of a difference. When writing a love story, which you did, what do you think the most important element there is in writing such a story, and what do you think readers want most out of a love story?
There are so many imperative elements when writing a love story, but to narrow it down, I would say the story must be heartfelt, and I think that it must have characters that readers can connect to and care about, because I think that once you get readers to care about the characters, then they will want to see their outcomes, and they will want to know how their stories will evolve and how it ends. And what do I think readers want most out of a love story? It varies, because each person and each reader is so different. And I have some supporters who've emailed me and said that they enjoy the romance and love scenes from my books, while others said they enjoy the courtship and the building up to love. But I just basically try to create a story with strong characters who have heartfelt issues and who are on the road to having true love despite the challenges thrown at them.
Where do you gather your ideas from? Are you looking for people in particular that you've seen in through your life that have offered up a romantic kind of story? Or what do? Do you sit home and imagine something happening between two people?
Both. I guess some of it comes to me as I'm writing, and I'm even surprised sometimes because I can be writing about a character and then some things just come to me, and as well as situations that I've, witnessed with friends or witnessed with other people. From all types of things that happen, I actually can get a lot of ideas and basically draw on them while I'm reading, while I'm writing.
Right, right. And, of course, it was alluded to in the clip that we heard Lee talking about, but every good story definitely has conflict, and you want to capture the reader quite quickly with conflict. When you wrote Sent from Heaven, did you know of the conflict before you wrote it? Or, like some writers, did some come along while you were writing it?
I say it was both, because I knew about some of the conflict. For instance, with Maya, I knew that she had a heart condition and that she'd been in a relationship with a married man and had a child with that married man. However, the secrets that were revealed about her, that did not come until later while I was writing the story. As well as with Ford, when I was writing about him, the major conflicts that happened to him throughout the book did not come to me until I was writing about them, and they just stuck, and I knew that was the way to keep the story flowing, so I went with it.
Right, and of course, Ford and Maya are unique names that you don't hear too often, and I was wondering if we could talk a little bit about picking names for characters in your book. Is it more involved and time-consuming than, like, say, picking names for a baby? What's your process for doing that?
Yes, picking names for my characters, it is an arduous process because I want the names to fit the characters, and it is very time-consuming, and just like picking names for a baby, because your books are like your baby. So with each book, I spend quite a bit of time researching names to learn the meanings of names and looking online and looking in books, and then I basically decide which name best fits a particular character.
Where did Ford come from? Can you tell us?
Yes, I was just doing some research, and I just wanted a different name, and so that was what popped out. I had a list of names, and Ford was one of the names on the list, and I said, this is the name that best embodies this character for this book. So it came from me just looking up names online and gathering them together, and that was one of the names that I had written down.
Of course, when you get the name, you also have to paint a picture, and I know in your genre, especially in romance, a lot of the book covers are very dramatic in picturing usually a couple of people on the cover. And how important to you is the cover for you, and where do you turn to get the right one for your story? Is there somebody you have to go to help with that, or how did you do that?
Well, the cover is very important because it is what sells your book. And so it is what could make someone interested in reading your book or even, you know, looking into the first few pages of your book. So it's another thing as well that I spend a lot of time on, as well as the name, I spend a lot of time on my covers. And I went through a lot of cover art and searching for the ones that had the right feel that I was looking for and that fit the stories that I was writing about. But now I also have models who are signed to our companies and will be featured on upcoming covers. So covers are important because you do want the cover to represent what the book is about, as well as pull people in to read the book and find out what the story is about.
To get a model, what's that like? Imagine that's quite a process, isn't it, to get somebody to pose for your covers?
Yes. The process with having a model is it's really a form of acting because they have to, most of them read the books, and so they also have to embody the characters, and then you have to get someone, a makeup artist, who basically dresses them to fit that character and create a whole story around that model. And so that's another arduous process.
Dee Dee, how many books have you written up to this date?
Up to this date, I've written 8, but I have many more that will be released later this year and some next year.
Wow. That's a lot of writing. That's fantastic. I don't think I asked you, but when did you start writing?
Well, I started writing when I was 6 years old, and I started with writing songs, and then it turned into poetry, and then I didn't write my first manuscript until I was in my late 20s, and that was after I got sick, and I decided, you know, once I got well that I would not put any of my stories on the back burner again, and once I got well, I wrote my first book, which was My Husband's Woman.
Wow, that's great. Can I ask what you do? This isn't a full-time job for you, is it?
No, it's not. My husband and I, we were in several companies from our parent company at DDMS Entertainment, so we have a publishing company, we have a film company, a theater company, and my husband has a PR talent and a PR and talent agency that he runs.
Wow, that's fantastic. A lot of work and a lot of time consumed in all those endeavors, I would imagine, huh?
Yes, a lot of time.
Yeah, and then when you sit down to write, I'm trying to get a picture of where you're at when you do this, and what is the best time for you to write?
Well, I like to write any place, anywhere that's quiet. When I first started writing, I had 4 small children, so I basically had to deal with them during the daytime, and so I would get up early in the morning and I would write. But now I wrote a lot of those books during that time when they were younger. But now if I am writing something, as long as the place is quiet, it could be inside my office or I could be inside my home office or the bedroom or at a coffee shop. As long as it's quiet and I can concentrate without distractions and have solitude, I'm good.
I think you just read my mind for some reason. I don't know, maybe I'm connected to you, ESP or whatever, but I had this image of you sitting in a coffee shop staring at people and pondering what kind of relationship they might have while they're drinking their coffee together. I thought that would be kind of a fun thing to do. And I know a lot of us writers like to go out and experience the surroundings around us. And one great thing us writers like to do is to people watch. Do you ever find yourself staring at others and wondering what kind of lives they have?
I think when I was younger, but now my imagination is so active. I can just think of the characters without doing that. But when I was younger, I used to, you know, pretty much do that and pretty much try to imagine. But now my imagination, I can just pretty much just sit down and everything will come to me.
Yeah. And then when you write, are you doing this in longhand on a notepad or are you using a computer?
It's both because sometimes before I even start writing a book, I have the idea, and so some parts of that book will come to me at different parts of the day and night. It could even come to me while I'm sleeping, so I always like to keep, you know, notepads and everything near me. It's both I write longhand, and then I also write down some ideas on the computer.
Oh, that's great. And then what sort of research have you done in your books? So how do you involve yourself with writing books such as Sent from Heaven?
Well, with research, that is another process, because when I was writing Sent from Heaven, Ford, he was a cardiologist, so I had to learn about the heart and the work that cardiologists do and their procedures and treatments, as well as with Maya. I had to learn about her heart condition and educate myself on that. And I also had the research on running an insurance company, because Ford family heads one. So I spent a lot of time before I wrote the book and while I was writing the book, making sure that I had the correct facts. So I did a lot of research.
Out of all your books, and I haven't asked you to name all of your books, we can do that at some point before you leave, but I was wondering, which do you have a favorite story among the books that you've written?
Well, not really, because it's like it would be like asking me to which one of my children is my favorite, because
your
I
favorite.
Love all of them.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. I think I figured that out. I figured that you were going to say that, because yes, our books and our stories are our babies, and to get them ready to go out into the world. Of course, when that pen drops or when you close the computer up and that last word, there's a lot that goes into both the writing and editing, but there's also a part that comes afterwards, which I have found from talking to a lot of authors, including myself, is that promoting your book or getting it out there into the market, marketing your books, is very time-consuming and sometimes more extensive as far as the work that's involved in actually writing it. Can you tell us a little bit about what you have done that's worked for you in marketing and what hasn't worked for you in marketing your books?
Sure. You know, with marketing a book, writing is the first step, and it's true that after you write the book, the true hard work begins. You know, marketing is ongoing and it never stops. And so any opportunity that I have to market my book, I absolutely do it, no matter how small or large the crowd is. I talk about my books at schools, colleges, as well as with people in the stores that I frequent. Also on social media, it's a good way to market your books, but it's not the only way. And now I have street teams, and also I have a publicist, and also getting out yourself and word of mouth and selling your books on your own book fairs. So I'm always brainstorming ways to get my book more exposure so that my stories can be read and so that people can know where they can find out more about them. But there have been a lot of things that have not worked, and when it does not work, then, you know, you just trash that, and you go on and you look for the effective ways, the things that work, to get word of mouth spread about your book.
So when you're looking for an editor and you're looking for that first edit and you're looking for a publicist, and a lot of authors don't have that, they've gone the route of self-publishing, but tell us what a good publicist in your view is, and what do you need to know about them before you decide to sign on with them?
Well, the first thing is, I think that, having a good publicist, you first have to get someone who actually believes in you, because if they don't believe in you, then they're not going to work hard to get you the exposure that they can get you. So first of all, getting that publicist that believes in your work. Maybe it's a publicist or someone who actually you can forward them your book, and you can forward them the things that you're doing. And then they may want to take you on as a client because they love that book so much, or they love the work that you presented to them. But you first have to have that publicist who believes in you, and a publicist who is seasoned, who knows which editors to pitch you to, and who knows how to get you the best exposure. And they'll prove it to you because they'll continue to get you into different media and continue to get you interviews, and they'll keep in contact with you and work with you to develop a plan to get the word out about you and the work that you do.
And then as far as editing, what do you look for in an editor?
Well, with the editor, I look for someone who is, again, this is someone who is seasoned in their craft, and so they're also very honest with you, and they'll tell you, you know, when something's not working or something is, you know, not progressing the story. So I like editors that are honest, and when they're honest with you, then that helps you put your best book forward. And not only editors, but if you can have someone who test readers. For me, I also have my husband, and he is also honest with me. Whenever I read to him, he doesn't sugarcoat anything. So if you can't have an editor, if you can find someone who's going to tell you, you know, you need to rewrite that or that's not working, then that will help you develop the best book. And you have to be willing to say, you know, some people don't like criticism, but it's not, you shouldn't look at it as criticism. You should look at it as making your book the best that it can be.
Right. And then, you know, deciding on a change of storyline, I think, and I've heard some horror stories that editors wanted to change whole entire stories and flip them around. And the authors, of course, said, no, you're not going to do that to my, well, we just talked about it, to my baby. So there's probably a lot of that going on, too. And then there's editors out there that don't really have the time to invest in getting to know about the story. They're more consumed with writing grammatically and making sure, you know, your T's are crossed and your I's are dotted, per se. But I would think that would be a very challenging kind of thing to do. And as far as cost, that would be my next question to you, is I have no idea nowadays, because things are changing so quickly, even year to year. But when you're trying to figure out the cost, do you have any kind of a ballpark figure of what an editor would cost for, say, a 100,000 word manuscript?
It varies because I have some editors that I work with, and some of them actually charge you per word, and some of them charge you per page. So I like to get the best price, but also want my story edited the best. But it just varies because a lot of them have different ways that they charge, and so it can be quite challenging.
Uh-huh. And, you know, as far as writing, that's one thing. And then, like I said, the promoting of the books is another. And that's usually two different worlds that an author will live in. And it's very important for, once again, for them to understand that. And a lot of people don't understand that and the work that's involved. So sounds like with all the books you have written, you've gone that extra mile to make sure that your books are put out there and that they're professionally done. And hats go off to you for doing that, because it's important to, when you pick up a book, the reader should know that you've spent a lot of time in making your work the best that it can be. But I'd like to ask you now, not only how have you changed as a writer from your first book to your current one, but how have you changed as a person from the writing experience?
Well, before I wrote my manuscript, you know, I started at the bottom. And when I say that, I knew that I had all of these stories in my mind that I wanted to write about. However, I did not know much else. So I spent a lot of years studying, learning, and practicing. And so even now I have some books on the shelf that will never see the light of day, but those books were my practice before I wrote the actual books. And they also taught me more about writing and creating, and even now I continue to study and learn and grow. But how did I change as a person from a writer? I think that as you get older, you get more experience on things, so you're able to give your characters more depth from things that you have learned or things that you may have seen others experience. So now my writing, I think it gets stronger as I grow older because I'm more mature, so I'm able to write about more mature topics, and I'm able to actually write about characters who have that depth, and I can put all this experience into them and their knowledge, and I actually understand how to, you know, make my characters have that depth.
Yeah, that's important. I was just thinking as you were talking there how it would affect somebody, a reader, if they knew the author was 20 years old as opposed
yes.
to somebody that was maybe in their 50s or, you know,
yes.
maybe a little bit younger than that. So would you rather read a book from an author that was 20, especially if they're writing a romance, or would you rather read from an author who is in their 40s or maybe 50s who had a little more life experience? I think when you're writing romance, that's one genre that's very important to know the psychology of people as opposed
yes.
to writing something that's got a little more action in it, or even if you're writing fantasy fiction, it's a little bit different, and it's a lot more involved, I think, when you're doing research. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And then, as I alluded to earlier, can you tell us the other books you have written? Do you have a list of them?
Yes. Well, I write in many different categories and genres, and my romance books are Sent from Heaven. Right now we have 1 through 3 that's available, and Sent from Heaven, it follows the Tucker brothers on their quest for love and the obstacles that they face with love and family and secrets. And I also have Starting All Over Again. It's romance, drama, and comedy. And, of course, I wrote My Husband's Woman. It's a psycho-thriller novel, and it's been adapted into a stage play, and it will be out later this year,
oh.
as well as a book titled Virgin and Turned Up.
Wow. What about the writing for a stage play? Now we get into something else here that's very interesting. How is that different, and that must be pretty exciting for you or anyone?
Oh, yes. When I was writing My Husband's Woman, the stage play, that was very different from writing a book, because now we go from people reading your book to a stage play where people are coming to watch your story live on stage. So with writing a stage play, you know, everything has to actually keep their attention even more than it would in a book. So writing a stage play and making sure that it's exciting and making sure that it keeps the audience engaged, that's a little bit more difficult than just writing a book.
Right. And what's the name of that stage play again?
The stage play is the same as the book. It's My Husband's Woman.
Okay. And where is that being seen?
Well, I've been picked up by a distributor, so it's going to be in Walmart. It's going to be on Amazon. It's going to be everywhere. And we're actually going to be doing the recording of it soon at a theater in Columbia. And it's going to be available everywhere later in 2015 or the beginning of 2016. I'm still waiting on the exact date from the distributor.
Right. And now I come to a question that comes up a lot on our show, and a lot of readers and a lot of authors are involved in this to some degree or another. But when your book is going up for review, such as when I read your book and reviewed your book, and you read the reviews, what's on your mind, and how do reviews affect you?
Well, what's on my mind is that I put out the best story that I could. And another thing that I ponder on is a great piece of advice my husband and business manager gave me a long time ago. He asked me to name one thing that everyone in the world loved. And I told him that was impossible. And he said, this is how it would be with anything that you write or produce. He said, there would never be one thing that everyone lacks. People are different, and so you would never have everyone lacking one thing. And so I love to say, if you don't eat an apple, don't pick one from the tree. Walk by that tree. So this is the same thing with my book is up for review. I try to target the audience who reads what I write, and I focus on what my supporters have to say, because these are the people who get what I write, and their honest feedback will only strengthen me as a writer, and I appreciate them, and I aim to please them with my writing.
Yep, and I think you're right on target with that. And also, I know a lot of authors who have said to me that they would rather see on a review page, they would rather see 1- and 2-star reviews than if they were to go to that page and see all 5-star reviews, because, as you said, not everybody likes what they get. And as long as the review is honest and not hurtful, and they critique it politely, I think a review is a good thing, even if it's a 2- or 3- or 1-star review even. So,
absolutely.
I try not to review anything that's below a 3-star. If it's a 2-star, I will send it back to the author and ask that they re-edit, or if they feel that they can't do that, then I won't publish the review, because I'm not out to publish not bad reviews, but I'm not out to publish anything that might hurt the author.
Absolutely.
And I think sometimes a 1- or 2-star review could do that. So I focus on the positive, and I think it's important that everybody know that. Yes, there are 1- and 2-star reviews, but they don't necessarily have to be bad. They can actually be very good in the critique of the author themselves. So we're moving here to the end, and sorry I should have mentioned this earlier, but you still have time to give us a call here at 626-213-5613 or 877-878-1436. If you'd like to call either one of those two numbers, we'd love to hear from you. I have DDM Scott here, and she's written several books again, and her latest one is Sent from Heaven, and I hope you will get out there to your favorite bookseller and look that up and give that a look. And I enjoyed it, and I really enjoyed having you on, Dee Dee. And do you have anything else on your mind as far as the writing process, editing, or promoting of books? Any advice that you'd like to give our listeners?
If anyone is writing a book, I would just tell them to write from their heart and to study and to never give up. And I think that if you write a story from your heart, and if you invest in those characters and believe in those characters, then the more work that you'll put into it, and it will most definitely find someone that it will resonate with. So I would just like to encourage anyone who is out there who's writing that book, and just tell them that they never know who their book can touch, and don't hide it. Just, get it out, because it's a beautiful art. Writing, and it's a blessing to be able to create stories and to have supporters who enjoy them. So I just want to thank each and every one of my supporters or anyone who took the time out to read my work, and I thank you so much for having me on this show.
That's great. And with that, I would like to ask you, where can the listeners reach you on the internet?
I have a website. It's www.deedemscott.com. You can also find me at Twitter under a DDMS Entertain. I'm also on Facebook under Our Shop Publication Book Readers. And from there, it will give you links to any of the pages and sites that I'm on.
Very good. And Dee Dee, again, thank you so much for being on the show. And we look forward to reading more of what you've got ahead of you. And it sounds like you've got quite a bit. So thank you once again for being on the Writer's Lounge.
Thank you so much, and you have a wonderful night.
Okay, bye-bye, Dee Dee.
Bye-bye.
And there goes Dee Dee Scott. And once again, to remind you, on the next show, the next time up for the Writer's Lounge is April 13th, and we're going to have Dawn Wooden back on the show. I think it'll probably be her third time, I think. She's written 3 books, and she will be on with the book Stolen. It's a very interesting read, and give you a little bit of a snippet of how I felt about the book. But it was a book that I could not put down. And we hear that a lot from a lot of reviews and a lot of people out there who have read books. And it gets kind of via cliche, but in this case, it fit perfectly with the way I read it. I didn't have the time when I started reading it to actually sit there all day long, but I did get it done in two sittings. So it was a very interesting, very dramatic read for me. And we look forward to having Dawn back on the Writer's Lounge on April 13th. So with that, I would like to thank everybody once again for attending and listening to show number 80 on the Writer's Lounge. And this is March 23rd, 2015. And remember, always keep writing and let the story begin. We'll see you next time.
In the middle of the day, your faith and your fences have been blown away. You're down in the cellar and you've locked yourself in. Ah, but it looks like it's rainbow weather again. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. Storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out. And it looks like it's rainbow weather again. Morn. He said, Noah, get ready, for the sky will be torn. Build as I tell you, save what you can. Then wait while the rainbow weather begins. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. Storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind. And it looks like it's rainbow weather again. Trouble will come, but trouble will go. You're living in fear, but what do you know? You know that the sun's always coming then. You know there'll be rainbow weather again. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. The storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out.